Something great is taking place. Even last night, all night long, it had to do with a great spiritual thing, phenomenal things was taking place. And this morning again has to do with it. And the great, wonderful mysteries of God are just moving before your eyes just continually. Like the clouds that drift through the sky, the great revelation of Christ. And its mystic form is passing right before your eyes and minds continually. A lot of people don't get to look in on it. They don't get to see it. Hundreds and millions of people will never see it. Because the Bible says that having eyes, they see not. I say this again, they have eyes to see the natural things of the world, but they don't have spiritual eyes. And having ears, they hear not. Hearing, the prophet said, and they shall not hear. And seeing, the prophet said, and they shall not see. And then the Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh. See, the good cometh, but they shall not see it. Because Satan, even the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when the good cometh. But you're not children of intellectual darkness, that the day should take you unaware. You shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. So then, children who have their eyes blinded, the children of the world, they shall not see when the good cometh. Though it's coming, and though it's all around you, and even this morning, the Lord Jesus himself is here. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So you can't deny that he's here. He's here. But the thing is, have you seen him this morning? Has anybody seen him this morning? He's here. He's here. Brother Taylor said, he's here. He's here. Now, has anybody seen him this morning? Not only that, but the Bible says that the angels of God encamp round about them that love the Lord and fear him. Has anybody seen any angels this morning? They're here. How many of you believe they're here? Let me see your hand. Now, if all of us believe they're here, that means they must be here. The Bible says they're here. And it's like a brother one time, I heard about this. He was over in the Carolinas, and I think they had a tent set up, and he was wanting a big tent revival, and a pretty noted minister. And so he told them all, he said, the tent will be filled up when you come. He said, it'll be filled up. And so they came, and it was just a very few people there. And he didn't relinquish. He got up, and he told them, he said, the tent is full tonight. He said, angels are everywhere. So let's give the Lord a hand. He explained his way out of it, at least. So he didn't have to back up. The angels was everywhere, he said. Believe it or not, angels are here. Jesus is here. And that makes me glad I'm here. How many of you know that the kingdom of God is here? You know, a lot of folks are waiting for the kingdom of God, and they're longing to see the kingdom of God. They're waiting for the kingdom of God in the days of Israel. They waited for the kingdom of God back during the early life of Israel. And it came. It came. But they never did see it. It came, but they never did see it. If the kingdom of God is here, then I wonder how many of you see it. If it's here, do you see it? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you can't see the kingdom of God. If you've got the right kind of eyes, you can. You can see the Father, see always the things that the Father does. You can see the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. For Jesus preached, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And the disciples preached the name Jesus as an entrance, a door, and preach the kingdom of God, a door into the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is here. It's exciting times. See, this is why the church is drying up like the corn on the stalk. It's drying up because everybody is, they are convinced that there's a God somewhere, but they don't know where he's at. And they are convinced that the kingdom of God, one of these days, it's coming, but they don't know when. and they're convinced that serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, if they can ever find the Holy Ghost, and if they ever get to heaven to where they can get that joy and peace. Let's give the Lord a hand. Well, that's what you call in the world getting the cart before the horse. All of these things are already here. All of these things are already given. The church should be literally running over. I heard a brother this morning about, I guess, 3:30, 4 o'clock. He was welding. His eyes was red from looking at the little old flame, and he was tired. He was weary. And he got down off the scaffold and he stood over near me and he said to me, you know, so I don't see how anybody can enjoy anything else but this. And I thought, man, 3 o'clock in the morning, that boy must really have something from God. 3 o'clock in the morning, he was talking about what a joy it was to do this. And now this is really living. And I looked over to Atlin, he was sitting there in a chair. He'd got his work pretty well done. He'd wrestled with it and wrestled with it. Was sitting there in a chair for a few minutes. I said, Atlin, why don't you go home and get some rest? And he looked up at me. He said, that's what I'm doing. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's sitting there resting. He wasn't getting very much rest. But anyway, Atlin, you couldn't run him off. All right, I tried to get numbers of them to go home, but I couldn't hardly get them to go home. They wouldn't go home until they stayed, quit like men. All right, let's get back to the word of the Lord. Is it all right for me to talk to you like this just a little bit to explain things? Sometimes I do this because I try to explain things to you, because most people don't know who they are, what they are, where they're going, where they've been, or what's coming, or nothing else. They don't understand. They're just as religious as they can be, and they don't know nothing about nothing, even the preachers. So I'm saying then that Jesus is already here. Oh, now somebody says, my God, Brother Pike, what's wrong with you? Well, you said he was here. How have you said he was here? Let me see your hand. All right, I'm just saying he's already here. Somebody says, well, I believe that. Well, why are you waiting for him to come? Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, why are you waiting for the coming of the Lord? How many of you waiting for the coming of the Lord? I'm not waiting for the coming of the Lord, folks. Oh, somebody said, well, you got to wait for the coming of the Lord. Let's be reasonable, Brother Pike. Well, I'm reasonable. I'm supposed to be reasonable. I'm trying to be reasonable. The Bible said, separate yourself from unreasonable men. I'm not waiting for the Lord to come. The Lord has already come. Now, if the Lord has already come, and you said the kingdom of God is already here, and we've already passed from death unto life, and we are they that dwell in heaven, what are you looking for, folks? Let's give the Lord another hand. That's why I said if you wanted to go to the Philippines, it ain't a matter of not having the money or not being able. It's a matter of not having faith. With a lot of people, it's a matter of not having a desire to do anything for God or go anywhere for God, but they have a desire to go home and visit, frolic in the world. They have a desire to spend, have a desire to be something in the world, have a desire. Everything is a desire for the world. And if you want them to go somewhere or do something and they think they're going to get something out of it for them, well, they can throw the money together, they can work it out, it's no problem at all. If I keep on, I'm going to have you stirred up so that I can preach to you. If I get enough ripples in the water, I'll be able to preach to you. All right, so then it's a matter of believing. Now then, is it true that people are waiting for the coming of the Lord? It is true. People are waiting for the coming of the Lord. What people are waiting for the coming of the Lord? The children of the world. They're waiting for the coming of the Lord. They really don't want to see him come, but they know he's coming, so they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. But in the days of the Jews, when they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? How many of you have asked anybody when the kingdom of God is coming and when the Lord's going to restore the kingdom? How about what time, you know, they think this thing's going to happen? So you think the end of the world's close, Brother Pike. When you think this thing's going to happen, you got any ideas about it? Come on, I have a lot of folks here in Bethlehem come to me like that. Come to Sister Betty like that. Do you think it's pretty close, Brother Pike? Well, it's closer than you think. It's closer than you think. And they said, Jesus, we're Bible scholars. We're great Bible scholars while we're the people of religion, and we're the people that's ahead of the world. We're great Bible scholars. And, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus knew that they were blind. He knew that they were blind when they come talking to him like that. And there he was, the kingdom of God standing in their midst and the fullness of God standing in their midst. That's why he said to Nicodemus, said, no man has went into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven, who is in heaven. Said, Nicodemus, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Are you a preacher and you don't understand these kind of things? So they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He just said, it's just not given to you to know the times and the seasons. And he said, besides that, said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You know, you're looking for it wrong anyway. The kingdom of God came, and the kingdom of God was in their midst, and the kingdom of God passed right through them and left them. And as he left them, he said, before I return to you, he said, you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So you could get so carried away with religion, you can crucify the master himself, crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame. And you can kill every wise man that he sends to you. You can scorn in your mind every preacher and be right there where the kingdom of God is and be blind as a bat. So then the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And Jesus said to a man one time, he was talking to him, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God, because the man answered him discreetly. So the law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached and men have pressed their way into it. Got anybody in the kingdom this morning? Mighty slow getting the hands up. Got anybody trying to get into the kingdom this morning? Would you raise your hand? All right, see little John Paul, he's got his hand up. So then, not only is the kingdom of God here, but there's some folks that's already gone into it. I'm telling you the truth. They've already gone into it. And not only that, but there's some here that's even got the kingdom of God on the inside of them. It's already coming to them. Have we got any folks like that? Somebody said, well, hallelujah, praise God. We're in the kingdom, the kingdom's in us. Get it over with and let us go, Brother Pike. You're in a kingdom, all right. But it ain't the kingdom I'm talking about. The kingdom that you're in is filled with intellectual darkness. You can't see because you don't have those kind of eyes. You can't hear what the Spirit is saying under the church. And you are still out in the world and in the kingdom of darkness. And Lucifer is still your master. And as Jesus said, your father is the devil. And that's why you do the things of the flesh, is because he savors the things of the flesh. And all of your plans is to be able to economize and to be able to systemize and be able to be sure you keep this and you keep that and you have convenience and comforts and take care of that. And then if you can, you're going to try to help out a little bit in the kingdom. Folks, you got it all wrong. You all mixed up. It never worked like that. It just doesn't work like that. You might be a preacher. You might even have a congregation. People that hear my voice, you might have whatever, you know. But you don't have God. You don't have God. You just got an intellectual indoctrination of some computerized program that's in your mind. And all you do is will worship. Everything that you do is something you will yourself to do. And if you'll check up, it's usually a burden to come to the house of God and a burden to try to live an overcoming life, a burden to try to deny yourself because you want to lust after the things of the world and you're not hungering and thirsting after God. You're hungering and thirsting after the things of the world. And anytime you have to deny yourself of them or leave those things or have any inconvenience, like some of them last night staying all night, you just despise it, you hate it. You want to do anything, you'll talk around it. You'll go any way you can to get around it and stay out of it. Because you are in the flesh and on the flesh and hungering and thirsting for the things of the world. And the only thing that satisfies your system and your desire is the frolics of the world and eating and drinking and having a good time and having money and having prestige because you are a bastard child. And the Bible says you are born to that first man Adam and he will despise your image in the morning because in Adam all die. But in Christ, all is made alive. I wish we had about 3 hours this morning to bring you a little sermon. That's about all you could get is a little sermon. But I'm just kind of saying a few things to lead up to something to say here this morning. Just kind of find where your spirits are. And being late makes it a little hard anyway to get to you. But let's get the thing straight now. I am, as of now, already born again. I can't be unborn. I've been born again, and a baby can't be unborn. There's no way he can be unborn. Somebody said, well, he can die. That is true. I agree. A little baby can come into the world, and it can die. I agree to that, you know. But not this baby I'm talking about. This baby I'm talking about has eternal life, and eternal life means you can't die. Let's give the Lord another. Hallelujah. All right, so this baby can't be unborn, and this baby can't die. As a matter of fact, he is such an unusual baby that just as soon as he's born, he takes over with a rod of iron and rules the nations. So he's a very unusual baby. He is what's called the proper child. Now, so we got that clear. We know now that we're already born again. Another thing is, we are, as of now, right now, we are sons of God. Not going to be, not waiting to be, it's not going to come a good day for us when we might be changed. We are, as of now, sons of God. Got any sons of God? And daughters of the Lord, the Bible says. Got any daughters of the Lord? So then we are sons of God. Not going to be, John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like as to looking after one another, because we don't know each other after the flesh. The flesh is dead, it's crucified, it's buried, it's gone. So then, unless you can see through the eyes of understanding, then we don't know yet as to what we shall look like. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we can see him in. We know now that we are sons of God. We know now that we've been born again. Someone said, well, I know that all the time. Well, why is it you haven't been acting like that? The Bible said the child is known by his doings, and you haven't been acting like a son of God. You haven't been acting like you were born again. The way you'd been acting, someone would think you didn't know nothing about God. And your mind on the world and your desire in the world and your activity toward the world and looking for convenience and whatever for you and your family, is sure one thing about it. The Bible said we're supposed to be a light to the ends of the earth, and you're not being a light. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. And I'm not even seeing any of them myself. I know the others can't see them. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. And a light that's set on the hill, you can't cover it. It's seen. See, if you had a light, if you was on a hill, as a city on the hill, everybody could see your light. So then we know that we're born again. We know that we're sons of God. Now, we also know as of right now, that the kingdom of God is here in the earth, and we have been translated into the kingdom of God, and we are, as of right now, in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us. And it's been here ever since Calvary, the law and the prophets, till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into it. So then we know that the kingdom of God is here. Now, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And it's for sure that he's in the midst of us as children of God. For he said, I shall be in you. The world shall not see me. The world shall not see me. The world shall not see me. The world don't see Jesus. You know why? Because he's not in the midst of them. He's not there. They're in the world of darkness, and he is not the prince of darkness. We are children of light. We are in a city of light and a world of light. And he is in the midst of us. He is within us. And the Bible said he'll walk in you and talk in you. Are you listening now? The other night I had about the loosest congregation I've had in a long, long time, the last service. I thought this morning as I was sitting home, I thought, well, maybe since the congregation was so loose and uninterested the other night, maybe they're going to be a congregation without a preacher. See if they like the church better without a preacher. That way they can do what they want to. Nobody will reprove them. Of course, a body without a head's dead. But anyway, it's still a body. So we know then that we are already in the kingdom. We confess then that Jesus has already come. And the Bible said, if any man deny that he has come in the flesh, that man is Antichrist. Do you have any Antichrists here this morning that don't believe he's here, that don't believe he's come in the flesh, that don't believe he lives in me or in the children of God? That's all it takes for you to be the Antichrist or be an Antichrist. And John said in his day, the spirit of the Antichrist was already there. They were already denying it. Jews don't believe Jesus Christ. That is to say, Christ came in a human body. And the world doesn't believe it either. They are religious, but they don't believe it. So then that means that the kingdom of God is already here, and the sons of God are already here. And God is in our midst. And God hath poured out of his spirit upon all flesh. And God is the spirit of himself that he hath poured out upon all flesh, even the grace of God. So then ye are in heaven. For the Bible says that we are they that dwell in heaven. We are sitting in the heavenly places. We are dwelling in heaven. Then he said, what should we do? Rejoice forevermore. For serving God is joy. Rejoice forevermore. So then the kingdom of God is here. We're in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to rejoice forevermore. Our Lord has come. I will return the second time to them that look for me without sin unto salvation. And I shall suddenly appear within my temple to be glorified within my saints, and all the world shall come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. For in the latter times the house of the Lord shall be established in the high hills, and all nations shall flow into it, because it shall be a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Not a bunch of drab people that's half alive, wandering and don't know who they are and what they are and where they are and waiting to get a biscuit and a hamburger and a milkshake and coming to church on Sunday morning to soothe their conscience and trying to get out so they can get on to the cafe. And I'm not scolding you and that I'm having to hold you because I was the one late coming this morning, so you can leave early. I'm just talking to them that I'd rather be here than to have a milkshake. The serpent is on his belly, all of his labors for his belly. He looks forward to that dinner on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or wherever. He looks forward to eating and drinking. That's the theme and joy of his life, to have the pork chops and the beefsteak and whatever, you know. That is his life. Someone said, not me, I'm working for a car, I'm working for a house. No, the Bible said you're working for your belly. All of your labor is for your belly. Somebody said, but I want to be a dignitary. I want to be a celebrity, Brother Pike. I want to have me a place in this world. I know it. You want to do that for your belly. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, the serpent's on his belly. All of his labor is for his mouth because his mouth craves it of him. So Somebody said, well, I don't think that's cute. I'm not saying it to be cute. All right, somebody said, but I'm offended, Brother Pike. The Bible said, my heart is fixed and nothing shall offend me. They that are in the Lord don't get offended. You love the Lord? All right, all you got to do is get born again, you'll be all right. So then we see that the kingdom of God is here. We see that we are in the kingdom of God. We know now that we are in the kingdom of God. We know now that we are in heaven. And we know now that we have eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life. Have I got anybody in here that's got eternal life? Some. I believe I got eternal life. Paul said, I believe I got the Spirit of God. Now, if you've got eternal life, how many of you are doing your very best to live for God to keep from losing that eternal life? You know better than that. You can't lose eternal life. What are you talking about? Let's give the Lord a hand. If you could lose eternal life, it wouldn't be eternal life, because that's what eternal life is. You don't ever die. If Adam had had eternal life and Eve had eternal life, they could have never died. They were only overshadowed, or that is, illuminated with the wonderful Shekinah of God, which was eternal life. But they didn't have it. But folks, we got it. We're born of eternal life. We've got the great Holy Ghost, which is eternal life within us. The gift of God is eternal life. Has anybody got the gift of God? What does eternal life mean? It means you're never going to die. See, we've already passed from death unto life because we have eternal life. That's what passing from death unto life is. Now, if you have passed from death unto life and you have something else, I don't know how you've done that. Because passing from death means that you are free of death. Someone says, well, I know I passed from it, but I just don't want to get back there in it. There won't be no days like that. Somebody says, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that you can come and you can take part in this thing and not go back there and be lost? No, I don't mean to tell you that at all. The Bible said you can be partakers of the Holy Ghost. You can taste of the power of God and the good word of God, the power of the world to come, and still fall away. But that's not people that have eternal life. That's people that tasted of this good thing. The grace of God, the blood on the seat of atonement. Sure, you can shout, you can sing, you can speak in tongues, you can preach. You can do all those things and then fall away and die and go to hell. Because that don't mean that you got the gift of eternal life. But folks, you that have eternal life, you can't be lost. You know why you can't be lost? Because you are the predestinated of God. Predestinated, you know, means before you get to your destination, somebody decided it. Before the world ever was, God decided your destination. And your destination was eternal abode with Him in glory. Therefore, you are predestinated. Your destination is already sealed. Predestinated. There are people in the world, the Bible said, these were before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is, taking advantage of the days of grace to do their own thing, instead of coming to God and perfecting their lives. Are you with me?
Amen.
Just talking to you now. Because I preached about all these things for a number of years, and we're supposed to know all these things. So, as Judas, it was said before he was ever born into the world, let another his bishopric take. Esau and Jacob, I remind you again, before the children were ever born into the world, having done no good or evil, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. They were predestinated. Having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to election of him that calleth and not of works. For the Bible said it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. For the gift of God is eternal life. So you're complete in Christ. That's why we praise him. If I was doing all of this, and if I was the one that had worked my way under this, and if I had lived the life that was worthy of eternal life, then I wouldn't bother to praise God. I'd praise me. I'd say, glory to me, hallelujah to me, I'm the man. Why not? If I'd done it, wouldn't I be the man? But in that I didn't do it and Jesus did it, I said, glory to God, hallelujah, praise your worthy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what causes saints to have something to shout about and somebody to praise. All right, so then we see this great, wonderful thing God has done before the world ever was. The Bible says, and this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And when Calvary came, the veil was rent in twain. And when the veil was rent in twain, then the Bible said it was brought to light. Light means understanding. It was brought to understanding. It became an understanding. It was revealed. In Christ, when Jesus said it is finished, the veil was opened. The Ark of the Covenant was there. I wish we had time to talk on that. The other night we were going to talk on it. We didn't hardly get started. And now then, the great, wonderful Ark of God's covenant is with you. With you. That ark is your body, the body of Jesus. And that covenant is the great Holy Ghost, the Spirit, that beautiful rainbow of God, that bridge. Or the song we wrote, Rainbow, the rainbow of God, the covenant of God, God's bridge of mercy. From Calvary all the way over the church ages, or that is from eternity to eternity, it's bridged us over. We could say a lot about that. God put a rainbow in my cloud. So, we see then that these things have come to pass. And we are now children of God. We are now in the kingdom of God. We've now passed from death unto life. We are now eternal. We can never die. We are now dwelling in heaven. We are rejoicing in the Lord. Now, the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. So then that means our sinning days are over. We're no longer sinners. We once were sinners, but we're no longer sinners anymore. And Messiah shall come, the angel said to Daniel, and he shall make an end of sin. And so he came 500 years later. Calvary, he made an end of sin. Now my sins are gone, they're gone, they're underneath the blood at the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then we're born of God, and he that is born of God cannot sin. We don't have a Pentecostal experience from one revival to another and trying to hold on so that we won't sin. Hold on, hold on, so you won't sin. There is no days like that. There's no way you can hold on. You don't know what to hold on to. You can't reach it, you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't taste it, you can't get to it. There ain't nothing you can do to hold on. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I sought the Lord, and the Lord saved me, but the Bible said you never sought me, I sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I call on the Lord and I ask him and he hears my prayer and he saves me. The Bible said you don't even know what to pray for. That the Spirit inside makes intercession with groans and moans that can't even be uttered. We're talking about what you do and what he does. Well, it sounds like we're nothing and he's everything. Let's give the Lord a hand. Sound like you ain't done nothing and he's done everything. Somebody say hallelujah. That gives us a reason to praise him, isn't that right? All right. So we see then that everything is all taken care of, even as to the high priest within the tabernacle of God, within the temple, whose temples ye are, making intercessions with groans and moans that can't be uttered. That's why the Bible said, don't grieve the high priest. Don't grieve the spirit by which your spirit is sealed on the day of the redemption of your body, the coming of the millennium. Don't grieve him. See, because he groans and he moans. He feels your infirmities. And through his groans and moans, God discerns that as to the desire of him towards you as to what you need for your eternal blessings and eternal security. For godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. Blessings right here. He that forsakes, the Bible says, those things in the world shall receive in this life a hundredfold. And then in the world to come, everlasting life. No man is forsaken wife, houses, land, whatever, your businesses, whatever. But what in this very world he shall receive wives and children and houses and lands. And then in the world to come, everlasting life. You love the Lord? All right, so we see that it's different altogether from what people have said. What is the great difference? The difference is this, that people are preaching, even as the Jews started off, that we should do certain things and go through certain ritualistics. The Catholics have carried it on over, and the Pentecostals picked it up. See, when it wasn't that way at all, see, the Bible said concerning Israel, you go about to establish your own righteousness, and you stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. See, and in that day, the Bible said, not having been found with my own righteousness, but with the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So then we see that it's not as to justification when the man said, I fasted, I prayed, but the other man that said, have mercy on me. Now, if all these things have taken place, and if we are in this condition, then what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Somebody says, well, I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. No, you couldn't be waiting for the redemption of your body. Because you was redeemed at Calvary. You wasn't just redeemed in the spirit. You was redeemed altogether. We sang, I'm redeemed by grace divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, for I have been redeemed. Redeemed. So then what are we waiting for? There's going to come a change of your body, which means at the change you will acknowledge your redemption. You will acknowledge your redemption. But the Bible said he's already justified us. He's already sanctified us. And the Bible said he's already glorified us. Justified us in spirit, sanctified us in soul, glorified us in the body. And you are bone of bone, his bone, and flesh of flesh, his flesh. For that's the way he sees us. For he doesn't see us anymore as the individual that we were, as being born in Adam to die, because we were born in Adam. In Adam all die, so we died, and that ended it. And then in Christ Jesus, we all are made alive. And as one man, sin upon all the world unto death, and as one man, righteousness unto life. So then he appeared in another form, having been delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Now then God sees us, we are, Paul said, not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I'm his bone and flesh now. All right. So when the woman marries, she's no longer what she was. She is now what he is. Wish we had time to preach this morning, but we're just talking to you to remind you of a few things that we preach to you about. Like the song we wrote again, I believe I wrote this in California. It's preaching up and down the coast of California through Hollywood, Los Angeles, and different places. And wrote the song, Lord, why do you take so long? And then I heard him speaking to me as I began to write the song. He says, I've been ready all the time. I'm waiting on you. Then the Bible said, and the bride hath made herself ready. And so then the groom comes. What does he come for? He comes for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Because he won't have a bride unless she's a virgin. Now, the thought comes back to us, if he's coming after his wife. Whose wife ye are? Ye are the temples of God. The body is the Lord's. The dispute is over the body. The woman is the body. The man is the head. the mystery concerning the church, one flesh, one body. Adam and Eve, one, even when she was taken out of his body. One until the veil got between Adam and Eve as to the intellectual darkness. The beast, the tree of knowledge, which we might speak on a little tonight, maybe. Depends on how the Lord moves. All right, so then we say, well, what we're waiting for, Brother Pike, is, you know, for the preacher to bring us into perfection, to perfect us before God, and we're waiting till we can live this overcoming life and get everything in place and get our priorities straightened out, and then we're going to be living so good. We're going to have this thing wrapped up. The preacher's going to keep preaching, and we're going to get better and better, and we're going to live better and better and better. If that's true, I wonder why you're getting worse and worse and worse. Somebody says, well, I'm not getting like that. Well, why don't you stand up and testify to us? You're the person we're looking for. I'd love to examine you while you're standing up and see what I think about you. Find out who you are. See, why are you getting worse and worse and worse? Someone said, well, I'm not getting worse and worse and worse. The more is revealed to you, the worse you are. That's why Solomon said, don't make yourself overwise and destroy yourself. The more that you know, the less you are. Because the flesh can't perform nothing. It's nothing but filthy rags. And the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. All's gone astray. All of your righteousness is like filthy rags. And there's none good, no, not one. So then the more you know, the less you are. Because the more you know, then your evaluation is that, as Paul said, I was alive until the knowledge came. When the knowledge came, I realized what a wretch I was. Said, condemnation hit me and I died. The more I knew, the deader I am or was. So, what are we waiting on to get better? No, see, that's counseled out by what I said. It's not of works. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you're going to do. There's nothing you have done. So then what must I say to that? I am complete in him. And what God wanted me to be, he made Jesus to be that. So then how do I get righteous? By believing in what he did for me. For the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Therefore you can't sin. He won't impute it unto you. All right, so then the Lord's coming back after somebody that's less than what there was before he started them. No. He's coming back after something that's never been anything but holy and godly and pure and righteous. He said, well, what are you preaching for, Brother Pike? Aren't you preaching to redeem us and to bring us back? Yeah, I'm preaching to redeem you, to bring you back. Somebody said, well, did that get us straightened out? No. I'm just here to tell you what you've always been in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. And I'm preaching justification to you. And as I say, when you go before the judge, if you haven't done anything wrong, your lawyer will prove your justification. You're justified because you never was guilty. If he proves anything else, then it is not justification. Because if you're guilty, then you're not justified. This was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. And someone would say, well, we're waiting, Brother Pike, to work our way into this thing. And I say this for the sake of this. It goes out to the world. A lot of people hear these things I'm saying by tape and whatever. Maybe you know, maybe you understand. That's good. So then we say, God is making us to be a great, mighty church. And he's going to keep working with us till we work our way into this thing, and we're going to just be spotless and be so holy and so godly. No, the Bible said it was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And what was it that was given to us? Perfection. For the Bible said he hath perfected forever. Perfected forever. When did he do this? Somebody says, well, when I came to him. But the Bible said he so loved us that he gave Jesus to die for us, and he saved us while we were yet in our sins. And before the world ever was, as the prophet said, before I was ever born or formed in my mother's womb, he called me to be a prophet. One writer said he knew all of my members before they ever came to pass. Before the world ever was, Judas, it was decided he was a devil. Before the world ever was, it was decided that Esau would not get the birthright. So then he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. He said, Calvary, he has justified, he has sanctified, he has glorified. What can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? And who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For we are his elect according to foreknowledge. And Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even the devil. Come on, folks. So then what are we waiting for? Waiting only indicates that there's a time element involved. So then what are we waiting for? If you are waiting, you couldn't be waiting but for one thing. Because if you are waiting, it's evident that you are in the realm of time and you're waiting to die. And death will get there sooner or later. All right, so then what are we waiting for? I'm not waiting for anything. I'm not waiting for the Lord. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I'm not waiting for anything. What would I like to do? It is true that we must wait. We must wait. Not waiting for anything. We must wait the redemption of our body. Where someone would say, well, we're waiting for the time of that Brother Pike. Well, why did Enoch go ahead and just go on out and not wait with us? Why didn't he wait on us? He just went right on out. Why did Enoch go on out? Why did Elijah go on out? Why did Moses go on out? And especially Enoch, that he's not planning to return. Why did Jesus walk up on the mountaintop and appear in glory? He was a human being. To wit the redemption of our body, to wit it, as to what? Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. To wit it, someone said he's a witty old gent. Or they sought out witty inventions. All that is to wit that Christ, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. To wit, to comprehend, to grasp, to come to understand, to get a hold of. To get a hold of what? Jesus said it was finished at Calvary. He's perfected you forever. He's redeemed you. Let's give him a hand. So what's all of this about? Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. We are preaching to you what he did for you before the world ever was, that you might gradually grow into it, comprehend it as to whatever you can receive, as to the measure, that you might suddenly realize who you are and what you are, and that it's over, that it's finished, and that the whole thing has been a transition of faith, just you coming to knowledge and to understand and to believe. And that's all it's been about. Is that you got lost off as God's family in the garden, and Jesus come looking for you, and he found you through the redemption of his blood at Calvary and restored you, and he sent some people out like Brother Pike and Brother Taylor to go down to your place and tell you that it's all over, it's finished, Israel, your warfares are accomplished, there's nothing to do now but love the Lord and rejoice forevermore, for this is the day since Calvary that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Rejoice forevermore. How long is evermore? Eternally. And let us be glad in it, because we are they that dwell in heaven, and we're not in the earth anymore. Why do you then wait for a rapture when there's no such teaching as the word rapture in the Bible? Change from glory to glory, from illumination to illumination, from understanding to understanding. From the wonderfulness of God to the wonderfulness of God. Talking about the finishing of the mysteries. For great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. Do you deny that? Justified in the spirit, seen of angels and caught up into heaven. So, this is wonderful. Can we stand together and sing that song? I know you don't understand. I know you can't grasp. This has to be a hearing as to a head knowledge before it can become faith in the heart. Has to be. Because when you take a picture, as God did with the illumination coming over Adam and Eve, that is in the garden, and from that it fell into the intellectual darkness as to the dark room, and it had to pass through it. So this goes in and has to pass through your dark room. But as to those that are willing to work with Christ, in that dark room there's a little red light that symbolizes the blood, for Jesus came in the image of sin, and he's found in the little dark room. He's the light. I am the light of the world, he said. And there's a chemical processing as to the Bible saying that all invisible things of God are created. That's been created. Or that is to the creation, they're understood by that is created. So it goes through a chemical process as to the Holy Spirit, that it goes through the change to become a positive. Though you're in the negative, when it goes through your dark room as to your intellect, yet when it comes out, it's a positive. And Revelation 19 shows the change as to the positive. But it's been there all the time. It was just one thing, just being processed. So, the Lord testifies to you. Heaven, the Bible said, heaven shall declare his handiwork as in the days of Enoch. And he's speaking to you all around. Even when deep sleep falls upon you, he's speaking to you. And the great mystery of God drifts before you as the clouds. But we're so vainly puffed up by our fleshly mind as to what we think we know, and resenting the preach and finding fault till we never, never get our eyes of understanding open, that we might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great miraculous thing. And the world is so busy getting education and understanding and ever learning and never coming to the truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. And professing themselves to be wise, the Bible said they're fools. And because they didn't know God when he came before them, the Bible said it pleased God that they be saved through the foolishness of somebody hollering at them, or it's called preaching. So it's so wonderful to understand. Solomon said, get wisdom, it's the chief thing. Call it your kinswoman, your kinsman. Tarry at the gate. We see how beautiful, and we could go on and go on and go on speaking of these things. But a lot of preachers have got people struggling, crying, tore up, bereaved, don't know what to do by trying to preach to them something that they've got to hold on to as a hairline, and that any time they might lose out and fall into the flames. They can't rejoice because they've got nothing to rejoice over. The thing is so haphazard and unsure, and so slipshuck, as they say in the world, till they ain't got nothing to rejoice over. But folks, this is different. This is different. Can we sing a little chorus together? I'm just a helper of your faith. I can't do anything for you. I'm just a helper of your faith. That's all. Revealing these things as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that we might, Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. To know that you might believe. And to believe that you might be translated, justified, sanctified, glorified. That inward child is caught into the kingdom, up to the kingdom of God, up to the throne within you, just as quick as he's born. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. He's wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, he's a prince of peace, and mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me.
from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. He's wonderful, he's wonderful, wonderful to me. He's a counselor, God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Ain't he wonderful? He's wonderful, he's wonderful that Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, he's a prince of peace, and mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. You know what? Anybody that could rejoice more over filling their belly with a hamburger and a milkshake or getting over to the steakhouse, when you've got this and when you've got heaven, there's bound to be something wrong with you. You've got to be that old serpent. There couldn't be nothing else. There couldn't be nothing else. For folks, 80 days and night on the mountain, Moses didn't feel the belly. 40 days, Elijah walked to where the cave was. He didn't feel the belly. God wasn't against him eating. God fixed him some cakes. The angel came down and baked him some cakes and said, now, you've got a long journey. You'll have to go in the strength of these for a number of days. And people that have their mind on cars and businesses and faces and phones and passions and the gullible desires of this life, when they can hear this, and when this is at hand, and when the kingdom of Almighty God, of everything that heart could wish for, as to the one that created the diamonds and the pearls and everything, all things are yours, everything is yours. People that would go after the natural, when this is present, got to be something wrong with them. People who have natural thoughts as to natural desire, when these things are present and don't have these heavenly desires and are not willing to bring everything into subjection to these heavenly desires, something's wrong with them. It means they're children of darkness and they've never got their eyes open. They've never seen the pearl of great price. Some would say, well, I hear. No, having ears to hear, you didn't. You're having eyes to see, you didn't see. As Jesus preached to them, talked to them, they never heard, they never saw. And he said, if you ever do find this pearl of great price, it has such an effect on you, you sell all you've got to gain it, just to buy. To purchase is one field. Can you sing that with me? So he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, he's a prince of peace, and mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. For he's wonderful, he's wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, he's a prince of peace, mighty God is he. For he's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. And this is the day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice, I'm so glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now, the one that can see this day, the one that hath eyes to see and ears to hear, enter into this day. You are part of this day. Grasp, believe, understand, comprehend
that you are the children of God, that you are in this new day, and you are in this new world, and you are in this new life, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, and now you are His, and your warfare is accomplished, and this is the day of His rest. Jesus said, "It is finished," and God rested. He rested. Though the seventh day as to the millennium is now just beginning to come up as to time element that's involved, not so with you. Not so with you. Before the world ever was, you was in it. You was in His loins. And now He hath revealed it to you at Calvary, that you've always been His. That you're in this day. That you're the children of God. But you don't have to wait for those things as to time element involved that has to do with the Jew, because they are under the clocks and the calendars. The world is as to the time element. But we are in Him, and He is in us, and we are in heaven, and we're going to sing, "This is the day." Can you sing it? So this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we'll be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Remember now, this is the day of His rest. When you enter into this, you don't struggle anymore. You're not trying to work your way to heaven. You're just believing Him and saying, my God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm running over, glory to God, I made it, I made it, I made it. Oh, this is the day. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And we'll rejoice, we'll be glad in it. We'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day. The day that the Lord hath made. Somebody say hallelujah. Ain't you glad your labors is over and that it is finished? How do you believe it's finished? Hallelujah. Could I do any more than He done? Can you do any more than He's done? He said it is finished. What's finished? For I have perfected forever them that I love. So this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe I'm telling you the truth? Do you actually believe that this is the day? This is the day. The kingdom of God, the law and the prophets till John, and then came the day. The day of what? The kingdom. Men are pressing their way into it. This is the day. This is the day. The Jews missed it because they looked for it in the natural and with their educational system. They missed it. But this is the day. I can tell by the looks of your face, some of you, you haven't seen this day. The Bible said, and John was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. Got anybody in the Spirit of the Lord? That means you're on the Lord's day. You can't be in the Lord's day unless you have the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord's day is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When He gave Christ, that become the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. Have you entered into it? We've been in our days. We've done our things. But now Christ has come. We've entered into His day now. Not us living, but Him. Isn't that right? Not us living, but Him. Now if it's Him, He's in His day. Isn't that right?
So this is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. For this day that the Lord saved me. For this is the day, this is the day that my Lord hath made, my Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made. This is my day, this is my day that the Lord hath. Can you sing it now? Oh, this is my day, this is my day that the Lord hath made, the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad in it. For this hath made, we will rejoice and be glad. For this is my day, this is my day. Can you give him a wave offering? For this is my day, this is my day that my Lord hath made, that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is my day, this is my day. I feel like we ought to sing that again. Oh, this is my day. This is my day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, I'm so glad in it. For this is my day, and this is my day that the Lord hath. Can you give him another hand? Can you say hallelujah? Folks, if you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, your spiritual being has entered into the Holy Ghost, which is the day of the Lord, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and you ought to be happy throughout eternity. You ought to never let the devil push you around again. Amen. That's right. By faith, you're drawing nigh unto the Lord, and the Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He's afraid of you. You're sons of God. You got power over him. And when you believe this, that's drawing nigh unto the Word, nigh unto the Lord, nigh unto faith. And the devil has to get out from here. I want you to let your spirit go out to God, let your faith go out to God, let your confidence go out to God. I don't want you to have a reservation of heart at all when we sing this again. Because if you're in the Lord's day, I want you to enjoy it. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong. The Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's Word. It's been a transitional period all down through the years to bring men into faith. The folds, the light's becoming sevenfold now. And as to the sevenfold, scientists say the sun will go away into a nova. You're about to go away into a nova, that the word has to do with the bride. So then, you're right there at that time, sevenfold now. Let's sing that again. Now, we want to let go. Someone said, well, why should I let go, Brother Pike? Because we're wanting this body to, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody said, I'm waiting. Waiting for what? Nothing but the dead to come out of the graves, that's all. And the dead is waiting on you and I. When we perfect this thing, they're going to come out of the grave. How do you know that's true? Because when it's perfected, Jesus will come back. Somebody says, but you said he's already here. I'm talking about to the world and to the dead. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Oh, this is the day. my Lord hath made, that my Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Now listen, if everything is over, if everything is finished, Jesus said it is finished. Anybody would like to dispute that? Okay, if we're going to take his word for it, said he preached the word. If I send him, I say that the word says, he said it is finished. He was the word. It is finished. It's all over. It's finished. Everything is well. Now, what must we do? We must season ourselves in this. The apple is grown. The apple is in full strength. All he wants to do is mellow out. Just mellow out now. That's all. Just mellow out. You already got the apple nature, spiritually speaking. You're good and strong and firm in the Lord now because you know your way around. All you want to do is mellow out. Just love him like when they got drunk off of the new wine. See, because if everything's over, now we want to start believing, believing, believing. We've heard it, let's believe. Heard it, let's believe. And you season ourselves out till all of a sudden it just, that'll be it. You love the Lord? Somebody says, be it for who? The world. We're already it. Let's praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I believe you believe what I'm preaching. Let's sing that one more time, can we? For this is the day, this is my day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, I'm so glad. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is my day. Remember, it's your day. Jesus said it's finished. He made this day just for the saints. So this is my day. This is my day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it. I'm so glad in eternal day. This is your eternal day. Remember, you're eternal. You're God's. You pass from death into life. The world can't sing this. Oh, this is the day. This is my day that my Lord hath made. My Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it. I'm so glad in it. Oh, this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm so glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that my Lord hath made. Let's give him another hand and somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's really true, folks. The finishing of the mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of God. As we go on telling you some things, we'll take little parts here and there and put it together and show you that this is the truth. Now let's sing this song, Time Shall Be No More. Remember, Jesus said it is finished. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law. No longer under the law, Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He folded it up and he laid it away. So then he finished it. And when he finished it, that meant that was the end of the world. Peter said, yeah, the people upon whom the end of the world have come. That finished. That was the end of it. So then you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. And I've hid you with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. You're not of this world. You're not in the flesh, and the flesh is in the world. But your flesh is dead and buried and gone. The spirit went back to God who gave it. It's dwelling in heaven. You're not in the world. If you were in the flesh, you could not please God. For it's impossible to please God without faith to them that are in the flesh. But ye, your inner spirit, is in the spirit of Christ. Which means that your spirit is not in your flesh anymore. It is in the spirit of Christ. Which spirit is interwoven within you. As we say, to put the safeguard in the fabric so the stains can't get it. And his spirit is one with the Father. For he is interwoven with the Father. And that is heaven. Spirit. Spirit is heaven. Heaven is spirit. There is no heaven but spirit. You say, but I can't see that. If you've got the eyes to see, you can. The eyes of the understanding. You don't understand these things that I'm saying. Even when I speak of eyes of understanding, I know that you don't. It's too far reaching for you. But it's true. It's true. So the end of the world came at Calvary. Jesus finished it. That was the end of time. For in the fullness of time, that was it. That was it. And it's been the day of the Lord since. That was it. That was it. Peter opened the door at Calvary. Jesus. The end of the church ages, John saw it. Up into heaven the church went. And John was in heaven. Paul went right on up to heaven. Right after Calvary. Because he knew the door was open. Now there is a door open in heaven. A door open. We preached on that one time. Maybe you don't altogether understand, but it's open. It's open into the kingdom of heaven, which is within you. The kingdom of heaven. Great is the mystery of God. And men press their way through that door. Press their way through that door. So you that are the children of the resurrection, children of the kingdom, children of eternal life, children that are in the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry anymore. The songwriter said, and I won't have to worry anymore. You don't have to worry anymore. Not anymore. You don't have to be depressed anymore. You don't have to be sorrowful anymore. You don't have to be cast down anymore. You don't have to let the devil kick you around anymore. All things are yours. You can just believe whatever you believe for. Whatever you say, the Bible says you can have it. Decree it in your heart. Don't doubt. It'll come to pass. Ask what you will. I'll give it to you. For I've given you all things in Christ. So, isn't that heaven? When a person has anything they want, at any time they want it, and all they have to do is just go start enjoying it. Somebody says, but I'm wanting some money. The Bible said, it's the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. All the gold is mine. All the silver is mine. The cattle of 1,000 hills. And all things are yours. Isn't that heaven? Can anybody tell me what heaven is? What is heaven when you can't die? Isn't that right? When you can have anything you want at any time you want it? When you're going to live forever and forever and forever? Somebody says, well, it ain't heaven to me because I'm sick. Well, why be sick? Well, you just can't help it, somebody says. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Isn't that right? It said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. When you spend so much time doing things you know you ought not to do, playing around, you're in trouble. Sometimes you're in the armed forces. You're in certain areas of the world and they have awful limits. I can remember that. Them that went all down through there, got off limits, they come back with their heads beat in. They went down there for the wrong motives. They come back with their heads beat in. Some of them never come back. If you'll stay where you're supposed to stay and abide in your calling, quit going off limits, you won't be having all them problems. You bring these problems on you. Condemnation kills faith. And then you can't believe yourself. Away from the devil, you don't have the shield of faith to quench the fire darts of the evil. But when you do right, you live right, you stay within the radius of Christ, then you have this great, wonderful shield of faith, and it quenches all the fire darts of the evil. You're not oppressed all the day long. You're not oppressed all the day long. Jesus said, rejoice forevermore. You're not sick all the day long. You're not cast down all the day long. Jesus was the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, your sorrow and my grief. The Bible said, surely he has borne your sorrow and your grief. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon his back. So what are you worried about? You love the Lord? Let's sing that chorus. It's all over. You just got to start believing now. Get it out of the dark room. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. Can you sing that with me? And time for me is no more, no more. And time for me is no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land. Somebody says, when? In the foreknowledge of God, and all of his works are known unto him from the beginning, was given to us in Christ. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be. God in his foreknowledge looked down beyond the angel standing on the land and sea. Saw you redeemed. Saw you changed. Wrote it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Said, these are mine. It's all finished. I'll go down to Calvary. I'll bring it to light and tell them down through the church ages, through the preachers, all about this. And time shall be. Remember, the end of the world for you is at Calvary. The reason for that is it's by faith. And at Calvary, the knowledge to faith is revealed. And when knowledge of what he's done for you comes, faith comes. When faith comes, translation comes, that's the end of it. He was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The others don't get the knowledge of that till what you call the end of the world. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing it with me now. And death for me is no more, no more, and death for me is no more. For the angel he stands on the sea and the land, and death. Can you sing that with me? Having eyes to see is to hear. And death for me. Pass from death unto life now. No more. Can you rejoice over that? Death for me is no more. For the angel he stands on the sea and the land, and death. I want you to sing it with me again. Really believe it, sing it. And death for me is no more, no more. And death for me is no more. For the angel he stands on the sea and the land, dying death just one more time if you believe it. Everybody that believes it, I want you to sing it with me. Believe now. And death for me is no more, no more. And death for me is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land. And death for me. Can you sing it just one more time? Do you really believe that? And death for me is no more, no more. And death for me is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and death for me is. Just lift your hands up now. And the Bible said, oh death, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy sting? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? Where is your victory? The Bible said, death is swallowed up in victory, and this is the victory that overcometh death, or the world, even your faith. Even your faith in him. What he did for you, you're eternal, you've received eternal life, you pass from death unto life. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? We're going to sing it one more time. For death, for me, it's no more, no more. Why? Because to be carnally minded is death. You're not carnally minded. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Not the tree of knowledge mind of carnality. To be carnally minded is death. To love the world, to have the love of the world in is death. But to have the mind of Christ, even the tree of life. And death for me. I'm not carnally minded. I'm not interested in the things of the world. Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh, because that's his world. I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. Pass from death unto life. For the spirit cannot die. Equal to the angels, cannot die. Dwelling in heaven. And death. I want you to sing it one more time with me. Sing it together now. And death for me is no more, no more. And death for me's no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land. And death for me is no more. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed. Now, if you pass from death unto life, don't go worrying about dying now. All of our life we're subject to bondage, the fear of death, but now we pass from death unto life, why should we fear it anymore? Can you believe that from your heart? The pure in heart shall see God. To see God is eternal life. Remember, this is you. Not everybody has this now. Not everybody, even in the religious realms, even in the churches. Hundreds and millions of people don't have it. They go to church. But you've got it. You've got it. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you've got it. Canst thou believe? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. If you give up your natural life for his spiritual way of life, if you have, you pass from death unto life. If you've not given it up, you may be a believer, but you didn't pass from death unto life. It's when his spirit goes into your spirit that your spirit can never die, never again. Death can never take it. So while you've got your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, and while we're standing here thinking about this marvelous thing that God has done for us, I appreciate having you this morning. Certainly appreciate it. Appreciate Sister Floyd's son being here with us. And also our little sister, the Bob Treadwell's daughter. We're so glad to have her here with us. We pray for them children so much. We're glad to have you here. As far as I know, Bob's in paradise. Much alive, as Abraham was when he spoke. While you're standing here, I'm going to ask Brother Tommy Clark if he'll come down here and dismiss us. And while Tommy's coming, I want you to keep your minds right on the Lord. Examine yourselves now. See if you're in the faith. The Bible says to make your calling sure. Your calling and your election. Make sure that you're one of the foreknowledge people and that you're one of the election by grace. For we are God's elect by foreknowledge, or that is, he has elected us under grace by what he foreknew of us. So while Tommy comes, examine yourself and see if you've got a pure heart, if you're not interested in the world, if you're just giving up everything for Christ Jesus. Paul said to live is Christ. If I live, all I'm going to do is serve Christ. To die is gain. The man that wrote the song, Keep on the Battle Line, life is but to labor for the master dear. To banish evil and to spread good cheer. And great you'll be rewarded for your service here. If you keep on the fine line. Life, what is living? Life, just one thing, one purpose, one goal, one motive. Leave off with everything. Life is but to labor for the master dear.